Hey, everybody. Are we awake right now? I yell a little bit more than Colin, too. Okay. Are we ready? All right, we're just going to, like, jump right on into some of my poetry, and then I will talk a little bit more. Okay. The first time I ever touched someone else's breasts, it was like discovering the seven wonders of the sexual world, the Great Pyramid of God, this shit is awesome. Sometimes people ask me when I knew I was queer. I'm pretty sure I knew before I touched the boob, but after the boob. Oh, after the boob, everything was made clear to me. One boob, two boob, big boob, small boob, to hold them in my hands or mouth, to feel them pressed against my chest. I am a certified boob enthusiast. I love the back arch, the small side. Touching these bodies almost makes me believe in God, because I don't trust nature to create anything this good. But I also know that most gods punish more than they forgive, and my own body feels more like a guillotine than a gift. Sometimes people ask me when I knew I was transgender. They ask me if I feel like I was born into the wrong body, as if gender is that simple, as if my body is a pair of handcuffs chaining me to housewife, to mother, to woman. I am not trapped in my body. I am trapped in other people's perceptions of my body. My body is something I can only love from afar, a mistress I can only caress in secret. It is death by way of choking, and I have no air to even call for help. I tell myself that top surgery is expensive, it's dangerous, the back aches from binding aren't really all that bad. Besides, I love boobs on other people, why can't I just love my own? But when I tell people my name, they still use the wrong one. I say not girl, and they give me back woman, lady, she. I say not woman, they say silly girl. It is not up to you to decide. And I don't want to hate my body for this. My body is not wrong. The way people talk about my body is wrong, but my body is the only thing I can change. My best friend asks me why I want top surgery, a voluntary double mastectomy. He asks me why I would want to cut off a perfectly healthy body part. I tell him it is not healthy to feel unsafe in my body. This chest feels like a misplaced sex organ. If you had a penis growing from your elbow, you'd probably want to cut it off. People would come up to you and talk to you about your elbow penis. They would never let you be anything more than your body. I am more than my body, but these days, I can only love my chest like a good cry. When my friend says I'm a burial ground, my life becomes a constant funeral, and there's no way I can be happy with all of these ghosts living inside me. So stop calling me disease. Stop looking at my body and chaining me to whoever you think it makes me. I was not born into the wrong body. I was born into a world that doesn't know what my body needs. So that's that. Also, I was raised Catholic. And so to do this poem in a church is quite a, I don't know, write it down in my diary. So I am Oliver Schmickey. I'm a non-binary transgender person. I am from a very small town in rural Minnesota. I'm very excited to be here. I'm very happy. Thank you, Amy, for inviting me. I think this is super great. Oh, yeah, I told my friends that I was going to go, like, be part of a sermon at a church, and they didn't believe me. But here I am, and this is so cool. So I'm just really happy to be here. The next poem that I'm going to do for you, I was actually entering a love poem contest judged by Garrison Keillor. He did not pick my poem. But here is my love poem. To the woman I was raised to be but will never become. People say they feel you in the high notes of my voice. The stranger at the gas station glances at my 5'2" and confuses me for you. Calls me ma'am. People send me your mail, addressed to Miss. Yours is the only name they allow me at the airport, on my taxes, in the doctor's office. They have made me illegal. I am illegal. I think about cutting off my breasts. I think about which hormones will carve you out of my voice the quickest. I am panicked to shake you off of me, like a dog's paw stuck in the mouth of a steel-jawed trap. It would be easier if I hated you. If I could throw you away like a used condom, but I can only ever love you like a scar. The proof that I could have died but didn't. When we were 14, a priest told you rename and rebirth. It was supposed to make us feel more like God. When that boy dug me open at 17 and twisted my virginity out of me, you and I still smiled in all our pictures. This rebirth was a stubborn creature, too dignified to mourn in public. We were an economist's frugal woman, finding comfort even in cigarette smoke and the feel of other men with hands just as rough and tongues probing. Each touch could be considered love if we just pushed hard enough. But I'm not even allowed a number for my blood. Rape statistics file all of this under your name, woman. Our history still lives inside of my chest. You were God for me that weekend. Jesus was dead, but it hurts to breathe you. You, water choking up my lungs. You, a body that fits too tightly. Renee, every time I look at my body, I want to slice your hip bones off of me. The way people see my curves and expect me to sign your name. But this transgender does not mean I want to pawn you off like a stolen organ on the black market. It just means that you were never mine to own. People stare at my chest when I introduce myself. They are searching for you there, but woman, they will not find you. You are the hornet nest, the ghost, the grandmother who died before I was born. Woman, I do not know you. Even though I wore your costume for years, I do not know what you look like because I am not you. I don't know how else to say it, except that the opposite of rebirth is to die anew every second. And you were thousands of skulls hung heavy on my neck. I was not born again until I shed you and named myself. This Oliver is the skin that finally fits me. It is like the first time I saw the ocean. I ran in and licked the salt off of my hands. It didn't matter that people were staring and that I was years too late and years too grateful. This Oliver is the moment Noah noticed the floodwaters draining. It is when the dove came back. My new name is the promise of land. It is the moment I smile without hesitating. It is the difference between swimming and drowning. It is the only way to keep my lungs full of the sky. Woman, I love you complicated. Like a first breath, like a scar. So that's the thing. Being trans is complicated. That's what that poem says. And, I don't want to go to my next poem yet. I want to talk to you a little bit, because you're all a lovely audience. I'm a non-binary trans person, and, like, most people grow up with pronouns. I grew up in a town where, like, you just gendered people the second you saw them. You were supposed to be able to tell, but, like, I'm one of those beanie babies in the middle. I'm, like, all those beanie babies in the middle. So I use they, them, their pronouns, and people are like, oh, but they is plural. No, it's not. It can be both. It's magic. It's a shapeshifter. It can do everything. So the way to use the singular they, because people often don't know, is you just use it like you would, like you were talking about a plural, you know, they are, you can refer to me as they are, you know, like they did that, they were awesome, and, so things like that, so that's how that happens. If you have, like, questions or you need, like, extra practice, there are, like, even, like, practice sheets online that you can use. It's very exciting. Okay, and then I have a final poem, and then we'll chat a little bit more. So the thing about being trans is that it doesn't exist in a vacuum. Like, all of the concerns and joys that you guys are sharing are, like, a lot of things that I've experienced in my life. Both of my parents are very ill. I am a survivor of sexual assault. All these things happen still. You know, it's not like I just get to be trans and then, like, everything else is like, oh, you got enough shit to deal with, I'll just go away. not how it works. Here's a poem, and, you know, it introduces some things about my life that are more complicated, you know, and how, like, my transgender identity intersects with other things that I have to deal with in my life. This is the familiar story. When I walk down the street wearing my body, and people try to baby honey it off of me, except that some days I do not know if they will call me a dyke or a faggot when they sink their teeth in. If my binding is convincing enough for them to yell their compliments somewhere else, or if this binding just makes me a boy too pretty to be passed up, do not mistake me. I know how to play the game. I know how people stare when I wear lipstick. I know how people stare when I wear a dress. I know how their stares turn from hunger to disgust the moment they see my armpit hair, as if I'm a cake not frosted up pretty enough. I know how then I become an eat if you dare, and when was the last time you saw a real man turn down a dare? I know how it does not matter what I am wearing. Except if I'm wearing the smell of a boy, or if they mistake me for a boy, or if they do not mistake me for a boy who is also trans, or if they do not notice that I am trans, or if I'm holding my partner's hand and she is just a tastier target, or if the two of us together just means they get to yell twice as loud, or if I can collect their jealous glares in my coffee cup and spit them right back. It doesn't matter what I'm wearing. Or it always matters what I'm wearing, because I have to walk home alone at night, and because I have to walk in the world at daytime, and because I have to be wearing something, and I can't take the fact, and it is a fact, that the headlines would have recorded my outfit as tight-fitting if I had ever reported my rapist. The first time I was raped, I was wearing a turtleneck. This is supposed to be a safe garment choice, but I guess it was too tight and he could see some of my human underneath. How indecent to exist. How indecent to wear skin over your bones. How indecent to have a mouth that sometimes says no. Last week when I visited my mother in my hometown, a voice yelled, "Damn, girl," from a car. I did not know whether to respond with "fuck you" or "I'm not a girl" or a middle finger or "thank you." So I did what I have always been taught and kept my mouth shut. But really, there was no one to tell. When each cat call is marked under women's issues, I know there is no space for trans people like me. My trauma does no work for the movement. The not woman, not boy, too pretty but with too small biceps. The not woman, not boy with an affinity for lipstick and tight pants. The not woman, not boy, unwilling to be called woman just for the sake of a support group. It is not support to be stripped of my gender and reduced to my breasts. The women who run these groups should know this. And so, I'm the not woman, not boy who learns silence from every side, whose mouth only opens so that it can close. Okay, so that's sad. You're all like, I want to go to church and be sad today. You're what? So that's basically my critique of the mainstream feminist movement and how it is not trans-inclusive, and it should be, because transgender people experience a great deal of violence in our everyday lives. Also, I don't know if you guys knew this, but, like, statistically, the suicide attempt rate for the general population is 1.6%. Less than 2% of people in the general population try to kill themselves. In the transgender community, it is 41%. And I think that says something, that the world is a place that almost half of us don't want to live in. And so I think it's really cool that what you're doing here is, like, combating that. That makes me happy. I know, I just went from, like, suicide to congratulations. That's a rough transition. Okay, anyway, so I'm just going to end my little spiel with another thank you. I'm so happy to be here. This is so lovely. Also, like, giving me hope that, like, religion and church can be experienced in a way that's not coercive and terrible, a.k.a. Catholic. Yeah, that's very nice. That's very nice for me. Other things you can do to be, like, trans-inclusive in your daily life. I don't know how many transgender people live here, because we're kind of, like, in the middle of Wisconsin. And I live in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. And so we have a lot of trans people, and we're kind of around. But you probably do. I mean, like, I grew up in a very small town in Minnesota, and I was, like, the only one. But we exist, and we are here. Like, see us. Don't assume people's genders. Like the Beanie Baby showed us, you don't always know. You know, like, we are complex human beings. If someone tells you their pronouns, use them. Like, I have so much faith in your ability to master the singular they. It's ridiculous. I will be hanging out in the hallway with Paul after the show, but this is not a show. So if you want to come say hi, I am very friendly, despite all of the anger in my poems. I'm actually a nice human being, and you can come say hi. I do give hugs if you like them. Feel free to, like, find me on Facebook. I have a book that you can buy on the internet if you want it that has poems in it. Blah, blah, blah. That is my well-rehearsed, very professional speech. Once again, thank you all for having me so much, and I hope you have a lovely rest of your day.